Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Most gracious Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be in thy house this evening, Lord God, as we come here before the throne of grace boldly, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have access to the kingdom of God and into the things of God in the mind of the Lord, Lord, by faith in the works of Christ at Calvary, knowing that we're nothing, Lord God. Father, we ask you, Lord God, to have your way, utilizing this vessel and speak to your people, knowing the needs of each and every individual here within the sound of my voice this evening, Lord God, knowing that I don't have any superior wisdom or any eloquence of speech, Lord, but knowing that you know what their needs are and the things within their heart, Lord God. Father, we trust you. We yield to you. Father God, we ask you to open ears to hear what the Spirit would say unto the church, Father. We decrease that you increase, and we thank you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can all be seated. I ministered a message many months ago about the unknown, God, that Paul was speaking about at Ephesus. Many times people call on Jesus and they use his name, but he's truly an unknown God to them. And they don't, even though they profess Christianity and they say that they're a Christian, he is an unknown God to them. And you see, we have to come to know God. There is a knowing that we have to come into a knowing and have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember many years ago in ministering a thought to the brethren and the families of God. And I said, you know, how many of them I've said to raise your hand tonight that know who President George Bush is? And I think everybody within the sound of my voice would say, oh, that's the President of the United States of America. And they would raise their hand. And I'd say, well, how many of you know who Jesus Christ is? I think you'd all raise your hand and say, well, I know Jesus, like that. But then I could turn around and pose a question. If I got to meet George Bush and I said, hey, President Bush, do you know a fellow that lives over in North Carolina named Martin George? I say, do you know a brother from up in the hills over here named Brother Green? Do you know a brother Eddie Rasico? And he would maybe ponder and think for me. He says, well, you know, I don't think so, sir. Maybe help me out just a little bit. And you see, there's many people who know Jesus. But many times it's not the question, do you know Jesus? Is does he know you? Amen. So, you know, when you get into amongst the Pentecostal brothers and sisters, you know, they think, well, you know, I prophesy, I cast out devils. And one might say, I speak in tongues. Another one says, well, I've laid hands on the sick and they recovered. But then yet the Bible says that when they stood before the Lord, it said, and we'll read some scriptures here in a moment. But when they stood before the Lord, he said, I never knew you. You worker of iniquity, depart from me. So you see, they knew who Jesus was because they replied to him and said, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. But he said, I never knew you. When we go into the scriptures and we think about Mary, the Virgin Mary, and we talk about bringing forth the Lord Jesus Christ and birthing him and being the mother of the Son of Man. Now, the Catholic teaching teaches that Mary is the mother of God. That's not biblical. He had no mother, no father, no beginning, no end. Amen. So we know that she was not the mother of God, but we know that she was the mother of the Son of Man. And we had to make him twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man, both Son of God. So there's a differentiation in knowing the manifestation of him on the earth. And we have to learn to rend that bell. If you remember when he was killed on the cross of Calvary, there was a bell rent there in the temple, and there was a bell rent. And there was a very significant, brothers and sisters, to the rending of the veil between the first man Adam and the second man Adam, between the Lord and the Christ, between the Son of Man and the Son of God. But still speaking about this knowing for a minute, and we will read some scriptures, amen. I believe in the Word of God, and if I say anything tonight to you that is outside what's written in this Word, I ask you to do one thing, throw it out and forget anything that I ever said, if it can't be vindicated and verified in this Word. I like what Brother Arthur, a good friend of ours from Wales, he's 94 years old, he came over and ministered here a few short months back, and he tells the brothers, and he says, don't believe what I say. He says, try what I say. Amen. And you know, when we come to church and we want to hear what we already know, brothers and sisters. That's contrary to what the Bible teaches us. Amen. We need to have a hunger and thirst after righteousness. We need to have a desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Amen. And when I was in aviation training and I sat amongst the private pilots in a measure of training, you would think, well, this is where I'm at. But if I continued to stay in that realm of thought, I never would have grown on any more in aviation world. There's a time to progress on with the commercial pilots and the instrument pilots and progress on out of that mind, of that level. And there's a time that once we come to the knowledge of the truth, or once we come to understand the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a time the Bible commands us to press on into doctrine. It teaches us to go on, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Amen. And you see, if we go to church, every single church service, and a brother gets up very zealous for bringing people to the Lord Jesus. But I look out here this evening in this church, and I could look and know in my heart that the Lord shows me that everybody in here within the sound of my voice tonight with this small flock, I could say very surely, y'all have heard the gospel story, amen. Y'all have heard that Jesus Christ came and died for you, that he resurrected, amen, for you. And you believe that and set your faith, hope, and trust in that, amen. So the thing is to go into the doctrine of being born again and go into those kind of doctrines, then I would be violation of the Word of God tonight, amen, because I'm not again to lay the foundation of repentance. It's time the Bible teaches us to go on into other doctrines. Let's read the scripture here, and we're still going to speak about the knowing of the Lord, amen. If we turned over to Hebrews, the 6th chapter there, I'm going to let you turn over there for a minute. I'm going to read that. And we'll start off with that as a base of scripture this evening. Amen. Hebrews, the 6th chapter says, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now again, as we read here in speaking about this, and I'm going to go on probably beyond that, but it talks about the doctrine of baptisms. Now how many of you noticed right here that there's an S on that? Amen. There is an S on that when we read that. Now if I turn back over into the book of Ephesians, it talks about one God, it talks about one faith, and it talks about one baptism. Now, we talk in violation, you might say. You might say that this is contrary to the scriptures, because the Bible says one God, but then it goes on over in 1 John 5, it talks about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, but it says one God. It is one God. So we start differentiating here just a little bit, brothers and sisters, as when we started speaking, I usually try to use biblical terms, but you can't find fault with me for using a word that might not be a biblical word, because the whole church world uses words continually that are not biblical. They use the word Trinity. It's not a biblical word. They use the word millennium. It's not a biblical word. They use the word rapture. It's not a biblical word. And they many times are using words to bring a thought. Now, the thing is when you use a word that brings a thought, as long as the thought is biblically correct and it's got the word to be a foundation of the thought, amen, then it's okay. But if the word is something that is not in the Bible and you use it to bring forth a thought that isn't biblically backed or has no foundation, then we need to get rid of those words, amen. So there's many times we take through denominational teachings from different sects of people, and over time things have been perverted, and we find ourselves teaching things because it becomes, as the Bible talks about, you know, these doctrines and fables that have been handed down from generation to generation. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, I'm not called to get into controversies and vain controversies or in these disputes over the word. I'm called in defense of the word of God. And if you perceive there's no understanding in a man, the Bible says to depart from him. Amen. So the thing is we're called to preach God's word and defend God's word. I'm not called to defend a denomination. I have not been to a Bible seminary or a school to be indoctrinated. This is why I believe what I believe. I've been in the Word of God. I've been through much training and indoctrination in the Spirit of the Word. Amen. But the thing is what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, I don't believe in bringing down the denominational barrier sometimes for we could all just fellowship one another, because on the other hand, sometimes God puts those things there to put people apart from one another because of false doctrine. I can't put my arm around the Catholic and say, oh man, praise God, me and you are brothers in the Lord. You know, let's just remove these denominational barriers. You know, we're both going to the same place. See, I can't say that because he is in doctrines of devils. And the Bible said if they preach any other doctrine, what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, the Bible says, let them be accursed. Amen. So the thing is I can't walk with a Catholic and call them my brother. Does it make me better than him? No, it makes me have a revelation and an understanding, but I'll put my arm around him and love him and say, brother, let me tell you about the good news of the gospel. Amen. Mary is not your savior and she didn't die on the cross for you, and you cannot pray to her or to Saint Andrew. And I said, the thing is that there's one name given among men, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's a jealous God. Amen. So you see, brothers and sisters, we do everything out of love that we do. And many times as we get so involved in trying to protect or defend what we think we are, when the Bible says that when we think we know something, that we know nothing whatsoever at all, brothers and sisters. We're not called in defending of a denomination or of some kind of sect of people or this and that. We are called in one thing, and that's defense of the Word of God. Amen. And the thing is it should not, if somebody comes to you and say, well, brother, I disagree with you and I've got scripture, you should always be say, praise God. Let's get into the Word of God and let's talk about it. Amen. Now, as we come down to that point, let me say something right here to help us to even make sure. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, doing what does it say from there? How many of you remember? Rightly dividing the Word of God. Isn't that what it says? The thing is the Bible also teaches us that there is a spirit world. Amen. And we speak of the Spirit. And the Bible says to be led by the Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Which says we need to pray in the Spirit. Now the thing is if we're going to speak of a spirit world, we also speak of a carnal world. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God, and the carnal mind is death. But see, Jesus in the Spirit is the Spirit of what? Life. Amen. So we've got two different worlds. We have a carnal, natural world, and the carnal mind being enmity with God and death. And we find the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of the Lord Jesus, is life. He is the Prince of life. He is the Spirit of life. And outside of him, there is no life. Amen. So now we differentiate. Now, this is where I stopped a minute ago when I used a term of such. But when we think of differentiating something, brothers and sisters, we have to pull it apart and look at it. The Bible teaches us very clear that you and I are a body, soul, spirit. Now, if we're going to be a body, soul, spirit, then we'd have to differentiate or dissect that to comprehend what we are. Amen. So because I am a body, soul, spirit, could I stand before you people tonight and tell you that I'm three persons? Could I do that? Could I? I couldn't, could I? I am a body, soul, spirit, and I'm one person. A person, the word person, comes from a word personification. A personification is a spirit that has manifested itself within a body. Now, that when we think of a body, when we get into the real depths, there is a differentiation of body, because we have a body of flesh, and the Bible said that there's beast flesh, there's fish flesh, and then it goes on to talking about celestial and terrestrial and mortal and immortal. And when we get into this again, we have to differentiate again, because I'm part of the many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, again, I'm saying these things for we could start getting our mind prepared for differentiation. And I will say this, and I can get everybody to agree with me, but then when we agree, the only way that you can agree is by, again, rending a dimensional barrier. How many of you in here would say tonight, if I said to lift up your hand, that is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ? We do know the Bible says that he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So if I said, lift up your hand if you're the part of the bride of Christ, I believe that everybody in here would lift up their hand. Amen. So the thing is that we have a little bit of a problem here. I am a man. Is that true? I'm married to my wife over here. I don't believe in this modern day perversions, you know, about a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman. I don't believe in that. I don't believe that you can confess yourself to be a Christian and be a sodomite or a homosexual. So again, if I say that I'm the bride of Christ, then we're going to have to differentiate. The Bible said that he has given us the Holy Ghost that we would have the power to be the sons of God. Okay, how many believe the scriptures? That's what the Bible says. Amen. Go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and you'll read that right there. He has given us the power to be the sons of God. So the thing is when you think that you know that you cannot inherit the kingdom of God lest you be born again. So if you're going to be born again, what are you born of? You're born of God. You're born of the Spirit, birthed into the Spirit, amen? So this birthing brings you into sonship as a son of God. So then I ask you tonight, I say, well, wait a minute. I'm not sure now, are you a son of God, amen? Or are you the bride of Christ? Well, the woman might say, well, I choose to be the bride. And the man says, wait a minute, I choose to be the son of God. And you think, well, wait a minute, which one is it? But you see, you have to make you twain, both Lord and Christ. He made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. He made himself twain, both Son of Man, both Son of God. Now, many times people have problems accepting a doctrine as such, but it's in the Word. They would have troubles accepting that because of carnality and being carnally minded and not knowing how to think. What did Paul say to them people? He said, brethren, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but he said, I find you still yet carnal. He said, the things that I want to teach you, you should be teaching these things. But I'm finding that you're having to be taught these things. Amen. So now what we're doing, brothers and sisters, is laying a foundation of an establishment that we can get over and over confidence of where we think we are in God. And we can start trying to look into the deeper things or the mysteries of God. The Bible says the deep calling unto the deep. Amen. You say, well, I just like to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I thank God for that. And that's good enough for me. And I say, well, go back and read what we just read in Hebrews 6. We're commanded to go on into doctrines. Now, when we're commanded to go on into doctrines of baptisms with a plural, and then we go over and read over here in Ephesians, and it said that there's one faith, one God, and one baptism. So we say we got a controversy here, but I have to differentiate again. Body, soul, spirit, just as we spoke about, I'm not three persons, but I have a body, soul, spirit. You bring the spirit out of the body's dead. There's no life in the body. So we start coming to some revelation here. We find that the strength and the power is in the Spirit, and the Spirit is life, and you bring the Spirit out of that body, the body's dead, according to the Scriptures. So now we've differentiated. But see, people fail to do that when it comes to the Godhead. They think that there is a separate life between the Father and the Son. But that's heir to the Scriptures. Do you realize that? Now you got to have to consider the Word and the Scriptures. Could Jesus have life if the Father died? He couldn't. There's no way possible. Could the Father have life if Jesus died? Now you say, wait a minute, we know Jesus died. But did he? When he's the Prince of Life and had no beginning and no end? So you think, well, wait a minute. The only way that you could know is you differentiate, and the Son of Man died on the cross of Calvary. The Son of God never died because it would violate the Scriptures of God. So the only way that we could come to a revelation and understand that is differentiate between the Lord and the Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God. Now when we look at the Scriptures right here, it says baptisms. Well, it's a violation of the Word. It says one faith, one God, one baptism. But then yet we know that there's a baptism of water, a baptism of blood, and a baptism of spirit. If we go over to 1 John, the 5th chapter, it says that there's three that bear record in heaven. And it says that it's the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And what does it say? The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. It said these three are one. Well, how do you make three and you make them one? And then it goes on to say that there's three that bear record in the earth. And it says that there are water, blood, and spirit. And it said these three what? Agree in one. Okay, so now we have an earthly promise and we have a heavenly. So if we think of Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, and the Bible says these three are one, but it's talking about three. What is this three? It has to do with a natural, physical, and spiritual, and a body, soul, and spirit. The Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. The Bible said that the Father is invisible. The Bible talks about all things were created and made by Him. All powers, all principalities, all dominions, invisible and visible, were made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was made by Him. So did Jesus Christ have a beginning 2,000 years ago in the manger? Was that His beginning? Not according to the Word of God. He had no beginning. So see, we're going to have to start coming and say, well, no, the Son of God was birthed right then. The Son of Man was birthed right then. Mary brought forth a Son of Man. But then yet the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, it says that the Spirit dwelled with him in the fullness. It said that the Spirit dwelled with him in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Speaking of Jesus. Amen. Now, the thing is, brothers and sisters, you know, there's so much that you could draw and that you could eat. But the thing is, you trust and pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. God's not going to let you come into some kind of foolish doctrine and you're going to be deceived. The Bible said it's impossible to deceive God's elect. You don't have to take, if you hear something that may be a little bit different than what you thought, you don't have to have some fear. God loves you. He's going to protect you. He's not going to let some minister pervert you. Amen. Unless you submit to it in a willingness without getting into the word and studying to show thyself approved. Amen. And that's what I like about Brother Arthur. He says, prove me. He said, don't believe what I say, prove it. Amen. The Bible said, be as the Bereans do. Amen. But we're going to start differentiating and dissecting, we might say, some teachings of the Word of God. You know, in the Bible where it talks about John saying, he says, I don't know whether I was in body or was in spirit. He differentiated, didn't he? He said, I'm not sure whether I was in body or spirit, but I do know one thing for sure, he said. I was caught away where? Into the third heaven. Now, we have a third heaven involved here. And if we have a third of something, not a one-third, a third heaven. If I had a third son born to me, that means I have two other sons. Is that correct? If I had my third child, that means I had two children born before that. So if there is a third heaven, according to the scriptures, you could make little notes and say, I'm going to go look these things up. And I challenge you to do that. But we do know that scriptural, and he speaks about that. And if there is a third heaven, we know there's a first and second. Now, if we're going to start trying to understand these things, many times people stay clear of those things because they don't understand it. When the Bible says the wicked don't understand. So we can't go around professing that we don't understand. We need to pray that God would grant us the spirit of revelation that we can understand and comprehend all things. Amen. So that's what we need to do. Now, when we speak about the first and the second and the third heaven, you might think, well, brother, you've opened up a lot of things here. I know I could open up more stuff. It'll take you 15 years to dig it out of the Word of God. Amen. And that might be the purpose of the Lord tonight. I'm just a servant of the Lord. Amen. But sometimes you have to take and put things out for people to say, wow. And they could get a hold of something and say, man, you know what? I'm going to press it. I love to be challenged in the scriptures and the Word of God. I love for a brother to take the Word and not to exalt himself as some great man of God or that he's somebody special. I'm just trying to demonstrate the depths of God's Word. The Bible said that we need to press into the things of God and the deep calling unto the deep. We need to push in for those things. The Bible said there's some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Where are you at in God? Do you feel like you're already 100-fold and you can't learn no more? That would be a terrible place to be. I have an excitement for the Word. When I get in the Word, I like it when it comes revealed to me and comes alive to me. And all of a sudden I say, wow, praise God, that is so awesome. That should be a daily thing with each and every one of us. Amen. So again, we've opened up a lot of thoughts. We've opened up the thoughts of differentiating between the bride and the sons of God. And we've got scripture for it. Again, if you go over to 1 John 3, it talks about that he has filled us with the Holy Ghost and given us the power to be the sons of God. It's very clear there. Now, so we got to differentiate. Since we're differentiating there, I'll open up another thought for you there. In many of our churches, the preachers teach us that we're sinners and we sin every day. How many of you have heard that? How many of you believe that? Let me tell you what I believe. The Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I do believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know that I was born as a man with the sentence of death, born as a sin. And the Bible says that sin is the sting of death. Amen. But I do believe this, brothers and sisters. If you want to go back to that same passage of scriptures in 1 John the 3rd chapter, it goes on to say that ye that sin are of the devil. Now, the thing is that I'm not of the devil. I don't believe that I'm of the devil. I'm a child of God. Amen. You understand that? I am a blood-bought, born-again child of God. I didn't get there by my merits, by my works. I got there because Jesus so loved me that he put my name in the book of life before the foundation of the world. I'm saved by grace, not by works, that no man could boast. Amen. So Jesus Christ purchased me and paid the price at the cross of Calvary for me and put my name in the book of life. Amen. So I rejoice in that. He said he saved us when we were still yet in our sin. Amen. So the thing is Jesus Christ came and did that for me. So I rejoice in that, and I got to have faith and believe that. Amen. Now, if I stand here tonight, if I took you over to 1 John, and I'm just quoting some scripture, you can make notes of it. If I take you over to 1 John, the first chapter, it says, if you say you have not sinned, then you're a liar and you deceive yourself. Now, see, I'm not telling you that I have not sinned. I was born into sin. Amen. But then yet, I'm not, just because I was born into sin and was a sinner, is that doesn't have to be my confession today. I was a man. And it's appointed unto man once to die and go back to the corruption. But according to what I read in the Bible, that I have passed from death unto life. And you say, well, Brother Rob, how could that be? Because the last enemy of God, the Bible says, was death. And Jesus came on the cross of Calvary to abolish death. The last enemy of God was death, and he abolished it on the cross of Calvary when he hung his head and said, it is finished, brothers and sisters. What was finished? Death was finished. The Bible said that sin is the sting of death. Let me back up just a little bit more, and you could read about this also in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. It's saying that the transgression of the law is sin. And the sting of sin is death, amen. But Jesus came to do away with sin. He laid the law up according to the word and put it away. And he came and fulfilled it, brothers and sisters. And then when he died on the cross of Calvary, he done away with that sting of death. And this is what he says unto you and I. He says that we are more than conquerors, amen. And when we are born of God, the Bible says right there in 1 John, in the 3rd chapter again, it says, ye that are born of God cannot sin. That's what it says. And you say, preacher, do you believe that you cannot sin? I'm just telling you what the Word of God says, okay? That's what he said, and I believe every word of this Bible right here. So you say, well, I just don't understand that. Well, let me help you with it just a little bit, amen? The thing is, brothers and sisters, as a man, I was born in sin and as a sentence of death, but now I am a born-again child of God. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm commanded to speak by faith and by what Jesus done. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So I'm commanded to speak to you as unto spirituals. And I say, Jesus came not in vain. He died for me, shed his blood. He went, brothers and sisters, into the earth. It could not hold him. He came forth as the power of resurrection. He is the spirit of resurrection. When before the crucifixion on the cross, and he was going over there to Lazarus when he was in the tomb, he even wept. If you remember, he wept. But the thing is what took place, he went on, they said, but he's dead. And he said, oh, no, he's asleep. Another differentiation right there. And they said, but he's been in the grave for 4 days. He stinketh by now. And the Lord said, oh, no, he's asleep. So what was he? Is the Lord a liar? Was he asleep or was he dead? The disciples kept pressing him, said, oh, no. And he said, okay, so be it to you, he's dead. But the Lord knew he wasn't dead. The Bible talks about the forefathers going on to sleep. Is that correct? So we're opening up a lot of thoughts here tonight. But brothers and sisters, we need to know the word and think as according to the scriptures, because the life that we live by faith. And without faith, it is a sin to God. Amen. So the thing is we got to learn what Jesus done. So again, he said that Lazarus, he said he was asleep and he called him forth. But on his way there, when they were talking about, are you talking about in the resurrection? They asked him. And what did Jesus say? He said, I am the resurrection. Amen. So the thing is, say, well, Brother Rob, are you talking about these things and all these things? Is when we get over in glory, brothers and sisters, we are dwelling in glory. The Bible says that we're dwelling in heavenly places. If you know the Word of God, it said that he's caught you away. Catching up is a rapture. He has caught you away and hid you in Christ, brothers and sisters. And we're hid away with him. Where is that at? It's in heavenly places. Okay, what heaven are you talking about, Brother Rob? Are you talking about the first heaven, the second heaven, or the third heaven? Well, this is where we start differentiating once again. Amen. So now we've got first, second, third heaven, body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, translation, transformation, transfiguration. We got baptism, water, blood, and spirit. And we've got all these things to start coming to a revelation and understanding of. So again, the Bible says one God. We say Father, Word, Holy Ghost. And it says these three are one. But then yet we have doctrines and say that God is three persons. See, there's violation. Being a Father, Word, and Holy Ghost is not a violation. Understanding that there's one God. When the Father, now think about this for a moment. When Philip came over and asked Jesus, he asked Jesus a real direct question, didn't he? He said, Jesus, and he asked him, you can go over and look at this in John, the Gospel of John in the 10th chapter. He said, Jesus, he said, when will we see the Father? He asked him straight out. Jesus said, oh, well, someday you're going to get your eyes open. He didn't say that, did he? He said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. That's what he said. And then Jesus said that he did what? that he came in what? His Father's name. Amen. And you think, well, wait a minute. He came in Jesus. And the Father's name was Jehovah. Well, see, Jehovah is not a name, brothers and sisters. It's a description. Father is not a name. It's a title. Son is not a name. When we say Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Son. I'm a son. Brother Ed, you're a son. I think every man in here is a son. Amen. Is that right? And the thing is that every woman in here is a daughter. You know, and they may be a daughter and a mother. And I may be a son and a father, which I am, and a grandfather. Am I three people? No. Now the thing is to see we're differentiating here again and we're trying to take and stop some doctrine, brothers and sisters, that has been infiltrating the Christian churches for many years. These things shouldn't be defensive if it's contrary to what maybe you believe or what you thought. Let me tell you, I came to Revelations after I'd been preaching the gospel for 10 years and thought, oh God, I see that perfectly clear now. I have to change. I've got to repent. You see, the Bible says that sin is not imputed unless there's a knowledge of it. Now, the thing is if I go on in teaching doctrines to be favored with people, or if I go on teaching things that's incorrect of the Word of God, then I bring the judgments of God to me, and I can't do that. So again, when we get into the Scriptures, and if we go into baptism and we talk about a water, blood, and a spirit baptism, and there's many people that have those all crossed up. They think that they have revelation of it. Some say, well, I've been baptized in the Spirit because I speak in tongues. Well, I know that in many cases in the Scriptures, when you find the infilling of the Holy Ghost through the book of Acts, you found that they did speak in tongues. I can't contest that. The Bible does say these signs shall follow them that believe, that they'll lay hands on the sick. It said that they'll take up serpents and they'll speak with tongues. So I can't contest that, and I don't intend to. So the thing is I wouldn't want to be in some kind of a doctrine to come against something that God's Word teaches. We got to stay within the Word of God. And the thing is if your doctrine says, well, God don't do that nowadays, and this God doesn't do that anymore. You see, when my Bible teaches that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and I don't know why that I would say that the attribute of God when he walked among men was healing, and why would he take that away in this day and hour? You see? So, again, we have many things that could be said there. So when we get into doctrine and we're talking about the Godhead and we say Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now, we're speaking now, brothers and sisters, we say the Son, and that means that the Father is the Father of the Son, you'd say. But then yet, if you go into the New Testament to throw a little bit of thought to you, when you go over into the New Testament and read, it said that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary to beget the Lord Jesus Christ. So who was the Father? So now you see, when you think you know something sometimes, then you're going to think, now wait a minute, maybe I don't know nothing at all. Amen. So maybe I better start finding revelation in the mind of God. So we find that Philip goes over to the Lord Jesus and said, when will we see the Father? And he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one, he said. So then if you say, well, they're one, but the Bible says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and thus three. But the Bible said these three are one. Now, you are a body, soul, spirit. According to the Word of God, the Bible says that we have to present our body, soul, and spirit. Now, if we're going to present a body, soul, and spirit, is there going to be three different guys lining up there for the judgment of God, for the blessings of God, or whatever it is? And I'm a body, soul, and spirit. When I walk in, my wife doesn't say, I don't want to talk to the body right now. I want to talk over here to the spirit. Now, I know it sounds a little foolish, doesn't it? But see, some people are like that when it goes to prayer. Well, you know, I've talked to you now for 3 minutes and 4 seconds, Father. So, hey, it's good to talk with you a minute. Everything's cool down here. Hey, praise God. Let me talk to Jesus a second. And then you go over and say, hey, Jesus, what's happening? You know, I had a pretty good day today. Hey, I spoke with the Father for a minute. You know, and how are you doing today? You know, and see, does that sound like you could say, well, Brother Rob, you're mocking. No, I'm saying, brothers and sisters, when you come to the mind of God, you see, it isn't that way. A man got upset with me for fulfilling the Scriptures one time, a minister. I took a man down to the river and I baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And he was upset with me. And I said, well, brother, what's the problem? He says, you're going to have a real problem when you stand before Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost. He said, you're going to have a real problem because you left two of them out when you baptized. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye into all of the world, baptizing them in what? What did it say? It said in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. Now, I want to ask you a question. That's what the Bible says in Matthew 28:19. It says, go ye into all the world. If you read back to 28:17, it says, right in there, it says that there was 11 of the disciples there. These men had been indoctrinated by Jesus Christ. They were disciples, disciples of disciplined lifestyle. They were disciplined by God Himself into doctrine. Now, they were there, and the last thing that Jesus said to them, He said, go ye into all of the world, baptizing them in the name, that's what He said, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It said name. Now, remember, this is an important thing to remember here. It didn't say names with an S, did it? Look in your Bibles. Go ahead and study it out in your Greek. Go ahead and get your Hebrew out. Get your Vine's Concordance out and look at it. It is singular, brothers and sisters, and it's in the name. The 11 disciples, one of them was dead, went and killed himself, and either of these were some ignorant men, because there ain't a one of them that did it the way that the Catholic Church does it. The Catholic Church, brothers and sisters, is witchcraft. The Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, came out of that. In the Nicene Council back in 321, there was a thing that took place there, and they took and changed the way that they baptized the early church. Now, if you go into the book of Acts, I want you to go to the book of Acts. I challenge you to find the way that everybody baptized in the book of Acts. If you remember there when the Holy Ghost came and Peter was full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, and they said, what must we do? He said, ye must go and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost for the remission. That's not what he said, is it? I say things purposely to make sure you're listening. What did he say? He said to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. The Bible goes on to say, brothers and sisters, that there is no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. Isn't that Bible? You know what's phenomenal about this kind of teaching is it gets people upset. And I'm thinking, man, I'm talking about Jesus. If I told you to go baptize in the name of Pi-Pi, you know, or Benny Hinn or something, you need to get offended with me. But I'm talking about my God, my Savior, my salvation, Jesus. When you are even teaching Catholic doctrine, I told this Trinitarian preacher, and you say, oh, what a man. Well, number one, Trinitarian is not a word, and I preach more triune doctrine than probably any Trinity preacher you'll ever find. And I believe in triune. I believe in God, Father, and Holy Ghost. You say, well, I think you're a oneness because you baptize in Jesus' name. Well, I do believe in one God. So the thing is I'm not a oneness and I'm not a Trinity. I am a Christian. That's what they first called us. And I got more doctrine for two than you got for your three or you got for your one, because Jesus said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. So we need to understand the word, and it starts pulling down some of these denominational barriers, and people quit getting into all these doctrines and things. You know, you say, well, are you post-tribulation rapture? Yes. Are you pre-tribulation rapture? Yes. Are you mid-tribulation rapture? Yes. You say, well, which one are you, Brother Rob? And I say, I understand all three, and they're all three correct. One has to do with natural, physical, spiritual. One has to do with the body. One has to do with the soul. And one has to do with the spirit. And they're all three absolutely correct. And if you would differentiate which the topic of what we're speaking about tonight, then you would understand that. So what does this do? Tear down all denominational barriers? No, it sets you apart, amen, just as it did the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. We're speaking still about now the name of the Lord Jesus. When you pray, if I asked Brother Martin tonight, I said, well, Brother Martin, if you're going to lay hands on a man and cast the devil out, how do you do it and what authority? I know exactly what he would say. I know what the Baptists would say. I know what the Methodists would say. I know what the Charismatics would say. I know what Brother Hagin would say. I know what the Word Churches would say. I know what Benny Hinn would say. I know what Jimmy Swaggart would say. I know what every minister in every denominational work throughout the world would say. He said they would do that in the name of Jesus. Who is the mediator between God and man? They would say Jesus. How do I have my prayers answered? In Jesus' name. How do I bless my food? In the name of Jesus. How do I cast out a devil? You adjure him in the name of Jesus. Now, that's all fine and great, all those things, isn't it? It's an awesome thing to know we have the authority over all those things. But what is greater than that? The remission of sin. Is that true? If your sins are not remitted, you're a sinner. And you got a sentence of death and you're lost on your way to hell. So the greatest thing that we need to have done is to have our sin remitted and taken away. Amen. So a trick come from the devil, back in this council in 321, and they go in and they change the doctrine, and they go baptize them in titles. Some say, I don't think it matters. It matters when it comes to the name of the Lord. If it don't matter, why don't you pray in the name of Buddha and see if your prayers are answered? Or why don't you be like the Catholics and start praying in the name of Mary or in the name of Joseph for travel mercies or the name of some other saint or whatever they do? That's an abomination in the eyes of God. I'm serving a jealous God. I'm serving a God that came and come and condescended to men of a less estate and walked among men and took and shed every drop of blood out of his veins. And he's the one that paid the price, and he's the one that purchased, and he is the salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way in by him. And he says he's a jealous God, and I'm not going to use no other name. Amen. And the thing is the name Father, the name Son, the name Holy Ghost are all titles, brothers and sisters. Amen. These are not the name of the Lord. So we find in Acts, if we go and look in Acts the second chapter, we go and look in Acts 9 and 10 and 19, we find that every time that they took somebody down to the water hole and baptized them, they done it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the thing is we shouldn't be ashamed of that name. Amen. And the thing is when we do it any other way, we're in violation of the Word of God. And you say, I thought we were speaking about differentiating. We are speaking about differentiation, and we just differentiated that there is no other name. And the thing is, it is Jesus, and there's all power and authority is given unto him. Amen. So now we start differentiating. You say, well, okay, we say the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. We find in the scriptures that this word was made flesh, amen, and walked among men. So we find that no man has seen the Father, that no man has seen him. But then yet when Jesus spoke to Philip, he said, how can you say you have not seen me when I've been with you so long? And the Bible goes on to say that the Father is invisible. So now we've got to start with this differentiation and pulling it together. So we take the invisible spirit of the Father, God, which is all of the attributes of love and mercy and kindness and judgment and all the things of God that we can understand. And man did not find. Man followed after. They were making golden calves. They were doing all different things to worship this God. But this God came, this invisible God that had made all things and come and embodied himself or personified himself would be the proper terminology within Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was the fullness, brothers and sisters. He wasn't a son of, he was not part, he wasn't a third. He was the fullness, according to the scriptures, of the Godhead bodily. So we take the Spirit of God and we put him into this body. And that's God manifested in the flesh, according to the word Emmanuel, God with us. And it's like a brother asked me that, and he says, well, something I want to ask you. He said, then who did he pray to when he was being baptized? And who did he pray to in the Garden of Gethsemane? And the Bible does teach us this. It said that his prayers returned unto his own bosom. Now the thing is where do your prayers go? Think about it. Well, my prayers go up to heaven. Which way's heaven? Somebody point to heaven for me, please. Now, if you're pointing this way, then the other guy down in Japan's pointing the other way, and the guy over here in Australia is pointing out that way. So which way do I go? That's the bottomless pit, brothers and sisters. Heaven ain't out on some distant planet. Where is God at? The Bible said that he's dwelling within us. The Bible talks about rivers of living water flowing from the innermost being. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, his prayers returned unto his own bosom because the fullness of the God dwelt within him. And we have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Baptism is not an overshadowing like it was in the garden. Baptism, brothers and sisters, is when the rivers of living water come forth from your innermost being. It's the power of God. Amen. It's the power, the Bible said, to give you the power to be the sons of God. It is the power to get you to walk to the conformity of God's image. It is the power to tread on the scorpions and the serpents. It is the power, brothers and sisters, to overcome death, hell, and the grave. It is the power that makes us overcomers in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the thing is we got to start understanding the power of God, the demonstration of God, and where he is. Now, the Bible says this when Brother Paul's speaking. He said, the things that I want to do, I do not do. The very things I don't want to do are the very things I found myself doing. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? He found himself, he used a term, he said, I'm in a continual warfare. Warfare has to do with the second heaven. If we're going to start differentiating here, we find that in the second heaven, having to do with the soul realm, we have the water world relative to body, we have the soul realm relative to blood, and we have the spirit realm relative to spirit. Now we find that Jesus came in the middle. as the mediator, middle, between the cross, the middle, between first heaven and third heaven. He came in the second heaven. He came in between man and God. He came between the spirit and the flesh. And he made it possible to bring these together into a unity and into a oneness. Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become what? One in the flesh. Now, the thing is, when you say one in the flesh, it's because this marriage brings in the dimension of the second heaven. And when this marriage comes together, they become one in the flesh. It's when you bring the spirit world and it's marrying unto that outer garment of iniquity, the bodily perspective. And when it becomes one in the flesh, there's a metamorphosis or a transformation into a oneness with God. Amen. When we read here, talked about the doctrines of baptisms, and we dissected here a bit. When we dissect or differentiate in these things, we need to understand. If we read in 1 John, the 5th chapter there, and it talks about these three of the earthly promise, water, blood, and spirit, you're going to find that these witnesses have been going forth to understand the Godhead the whole time from the beginning. The water world was at the beginning of creation, and it was a water covenant. There was no bloodshed. Everything was relative unto this water world. They were eating of the fruit of the trees. There wasn't any animals being killed. It was a water covenant and a water witness. Well, when this water witness was violated through lust and through the disobedience unto God, and the water world was violated, God was not pleased, and he come and introduced a blood covenant. And there was a killing of the animals, the killing of the beasts, to showing the shedding of blood, and they were covered with the skins of animals, and that was an introduction to a blood covenant there within the water world. But then we find that the water world came to a great deluge of a water flood around this whole earth and flooded this earth out and done away with that first dimension of the water world, because there had been an introduction to a blood world or a blood spirit, which has to do with physical and soul realm. And Jesus Christ came in that soul realm relative in the book of Revelation, speaking about the moon, and the moon is a reflection of the sun to bring light, a lesser light in. Man being blinded in intellectual darkness had to have a lesser light. Jesus came in that image, breaking the things down of the spirit world, coming and walking on men, for they could comprehend the invisible things of God and the attributes of God. When he come to, his point and purpose was to bring the revelation of who he was, of Jesus Christ. And when he asked Peter, he said, who do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the living Son of God. Amen. And he said, that was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but this was revealed by the Spirit. And if you go back and read that for yourself, you'll find that the course of Jesus' course at that particular time totally changed, because the revelation had gone forth. It was revealed unto Peter, and he said, upon that rock, upon that revelation, upon that rock, Jesus being the rock, he said, build the church. Amen. And he went forth, being the first man that went forth with the boldness full of the Holy Ghost, and he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus, commanding to be baptized. He said, in this very Jesus whom you crucified, he said, you need to be baptized in his name. Amen. Which is the name of Jesus Christ. Now, as we again are trying to maybe, we can never sum up all the things that were said tonight, but we can try to put some thoughts out here that you can go and pray and meditate in the laws of God and the things of God, and pray that he would grant these things unto you, that they could be made revelation and understanding to you. I tell people, I say, if you disagree with me, I said, before you disagree with me, you need to let me know where you are in disagreement at. Because I could say things and you could say that you can't say that, and I can't say that as a man. But as a born-again child of God, I can say that. Now, back to the differentiation of the sin doctrine that I was speaking about a minute ago, when the Bible said, you that are born of God cannot sin. Now, the thing is, I'm born of God, and I can't sin. Why can't I sin? Because it says, again, in the Bible right there, it said, because his seed remaineth in me, and I cannot sin. Now, what dimension is that in, Brother Rob? It's in the spirit. So now I'm differentiating between the third heaven. There's no devil of hell that could pluck me out of the hand of God. The Bible said there's no death, no hell, no principality, no power that could pluck me out of the hands of God. I'm the elect of God, chosen before the world ever was, sealed in. The Bible said that he made me perfect. Amen. And he said, be ye perfect even as your Father is perfect. The Bible said that he is perfected us once and for all by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. So you say, Brother Rob, are you perfect? And I say, no, Brother Rob's dead. But the one that lives now, the new creature in Christ Jesus, is perfect by the works of Christ at Calvary. You see? But then yet, again, as I say this so oftentimes, the Bible says that the fivefold ministry is sent for the perfecting of the saints. So if the fivefold ministry is sent for the perfecting of the saints, how can they perfect something when Jesus said he already done it? Now we're differentiating, aren't we? The word of God is true. But the thing is I'm not called to perfect you in the spirit. I can't do that. Christ already done that. So he perfected you in the spirit. The spirit's what? Invisible. The thing is my calling is for to bring the calling and election sure, to speak about the world of faith of the completed works of Christ. And my calling is to challenge you in the things of God through the transformation of mind, where the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And that is that mind that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God. And you say, you can't become equal with God. Well, he said that he made us joint heirs with him. And he said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. The Bible says that Jesus is the husband, doesn't it? How many of you know the scriptures? That's what the Bible said, that he's the husband. And if you're a bride, and if you've been running around all of your religious life saying, hey, I'm the bride of Christ, and he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Okay, so praise God, if you're a bride, that means there's been a marriage, hasn't there? Amen. Now, if there isn't a marriage, then if any children come forth outside of a marriage, then that means it would be adultery. And my God's not an adulterer. So the Bible says that we're married unto Christ. Amen. He being the husbandman. And we become married unto him. We enter into the secret chambers of the Most High God. The allegories are full of it in the Book of Shadows or in the Old Testament. And we find that we come married unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we enter that thing. Now we're back to where we started. I could close in a minute. The knowing. Now let's talk about Joseph and Mary. It said that Joseph did not know Mary, didn't it? Until Jesus was born, and then Joseph knew Mary, and Jesus had half-brothers. Okay, now the thing is Joseph knew Mary, but you say, what do you mean he didn't know her? He was espoused unto her, wasn't he? So how can you say he didn't know her? Now, when God said to the man that stood before him, and he says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. And that man could have said, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus, you just violated the word of God. The Bible that I read when I was on the earth before you cast me into hell, let me stand here before you a second, Jesus. Because the Bible that I read says that you know all things. So how can you say you don't know me? So what would Jesus say to that? He said, brother, you don't understand. That's what he would say. The knowing that he was speaking about is that relationship, brothers and sisters. When the Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin, is because of why? Because that seed remaineth within them. That seed only comes in the knowing relationship. And even though you have the demonstration of the tongues and the dancing and the prophecy and the casting out of devils, and you preach mighty messages and you do all those things, that does not mean that you're the elect of God. The Bible said the rain comes down on what? The just and the unjust. The rain comes down on the just and the unjust. What is unjust? People that aren't born again are unjust. We're justified, the Bible says, by Christ. We're justified by the blood of Jesus. We are the just. Amen? And the ones that aren't born again are unjust. So the thing is that the rain comes down, and it says in the book of Joel, it says, I will pour out my spirit on just some flesh. It didn't say that, did it? See, I'm checking you again. It said, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. Doesn't it say that? Oh, but it's just the good flesh. He said, all flesh. There ain't no flesh good. It's all corrupted its way before God. So then what we have to understand is that he poured his spirit out. And that's not the justification, brothers and sisters, because that's the reign of God. So what is the justification? The justification's in the spirit. Make your calling and election sure. The ministers sent to teach need to be apt to teach according to the word. And the Bible said you die like mere men. Why? From a lack of knowledge. So it's my calling to bring you into the knowledge of God, that you won't die like a man, because it's appointed unto man to die. But if you are eternal in the heavenlies, if you have been hid away with Christ and sealed in, if you have passed from death unto life, and if you are more than a conqueror, and you believe that he said that the last enemy of God is death and it's been abolished, and you've passed from death unto life, then you cannot speak like that as a man. You have been born of God. The Bible talks about being born again. And unless you be born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So it wasn't necessary for you to be born as a man again. What did he say to Nicodemus? He said, hey, you know, am I supposed to enter back into my mother's womb? He said, man, you're supposed to be a great leader over all these people and a man of understanding, and you can't understand this simplistic thing. You see, brothers and sisters, it's a birthing in the Spirit. And then when we come down and we bring it down, the Bible talks about being adopted. It talks about an adoption. And then it talks about being born into the kingdom. So there's two different dimensions here. The thing is, the Bible talks about translation. I'm translated, the Bible says, into the marvelous kingdom of God. What is that? It's rapture. I'm being translated in the Spirit. My spirit is already hid away with Christ. It's hidden with Christ. The devil can't touch it. Okay, so then what's happening? The Bible said it's the saving of the soul. The Bible says you're no longer accountable to the sin of the flesh. Jesus came and died for that sin that came forth from the flesh of the Adamic nature of Adam. The Bible teaches that very clear, that sin came into the world by one man, and that was by Adam. And it said it was taken away by another, being the second man, Adam. So you see, that would be the sin of the flesh, and it was taken care of. But there's another one that we got to be careful about now, and it's the sin of the soul. So the thing is it's the saving of the soul. The Bible said it's the end of the summer and the harvest is ended. And it said the soul still has not been saved. There is a saving, brothers and sisters, of the soul. So now we're differentiating again. You say, well, you think your spirit could be sealed in and hid in with Christ and the soul not be saved? Well, this is where we make the calling and election sure. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. Now, if I stand before you and say, oh man, praise God, I'm a Christian. I said the sinner's prayer in 1919 and I asked Jesus in my heart. And you say, okay, praise God. I confessed with my mouth, I believed in my heart. You say, praise God, hallelujah. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, who have you yielded your members to? If you really receive the Spirit of God, Bible says without His Spirit you're none of His. So if you really truly receive the Spirit of God, then you receive the power of God. And the Bible says that He gave us the power to conform to His image. And if you're conforming to His image, it's because you yielded your members over to Him. And whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. If you yield your members to drunkenness, if you yield your members over to fornication, if you yield your members over to adultery or to anger and malice and malicious and jealousies and strife and envy, then you are of the flesh and your father is the devil according to the scriptures, and you're married unto him. But when you yield your members over to the Lord Jesus Christ and you become married unto him and become one with him, amen, and you become one with him through the marriage, he said, I show you the mystery because we're the bride married unto him. And he said in the Bible that the woman is saved in childbearing. Brothers and sisters, let me say this. Sometimes I get exuberant in the things of God. I love the Word of God, and I go into things, and sometimes it's into the mysteries of God, and it's a revelation, it's an understanding, and God will grant these things to you, but it's simple. I'm not trying to talk deep things tonight. These are simplistic things. I'm married unto Jesus Christ. I'm the bride of Christ, and if I'm married unto him, the Bible said the woman saved in childbearing, the reason that he didn't wipe me off the face of the earth because he couldn't reproduce his image. So he saved my old wretched soul, brothers and sisters, cleaned me up with his blood, amen, made me like a pure virgin without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. I entered into the marriage tent with him, the marriage covenant, had the marriage relationship with him. The seed went forth and comes forth the sons of God. The Bible said that Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. Amen. So the thing is I'm a brother to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible said the same spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus shall dwell within your mortal body, and it will change you in that moment in the twinkling of an eye, and it'll change you from telestial to celestial. And that is the transfiguration. The translation has already taken place in the spirit. The transformation has to do with the soul, and this is what we do on a daily basis. We catch our mind up into the mind of Christ. We transform our thoughts. We cast down every thought and every vein and imagination. We speak to one another as unto spirituals, like the Bible says. We're transforming ourselves into the mind of God, that thought of not robbery to be equal with God. And as we transform our thoughts and we speak those things that are not as if they are, we bring the manifestation of the invisible things of God into a manifestation in physical flesh, walking among men. The Bible said he condescended to men of a less estate and walked among men. We are not of this world. The Bible said we're ambassadors for Christ Jesus. We're not of this world. We're from heaven. Brothers and sisters, we have been caught away, hid in with him, but we condescend back to men of this world, walking among them, full of the Holy Ghost, the same spirit that dwelled in Christ Jesus. We walk among men with the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of God. overcomers, keeping ourselves with a good name within and without, keeping ourselves unspotted from the things of the world. And this is what we are called to do, to walk in demonstration and power of the Spirit of God, not for our salvation. We're doing it that others could see Christ in us, the hope of glory, that they could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let's stand together. Amen. There's no closing place, brothers and sisters, so we just got to find a place between a breath and say, stand up, and we'll close the service if God will allow us. Amen. Because when you get into the mind of God and the revelation of the Lord, it's endless, brothers and sisters. And really, I ran out of notes. No. And amen. I love y'all and appreciate you. And again, I read a little bit of scripture tonight, what I would have liked to have gone on into. And I'm going to read this to you. Something to think about, brothers and sisters. And it's revelation of God. And it's an easy thing to understand. It says right here in Hebrews 6, the fourth verse, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost." Now listen. "And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." And then understanding this scriptures, brothers and sisters, is a very misunderstood thing. And the blood of Jesus is a very misunderstood thing. And there's people that think, brothers and sisters, that they can go off and live a sinful lifestyle. And they think they can go drink and smoke and snort and lie and cheat and steal and be in fornication, adultery, and all these things. And they come back to church and say, "Oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Oh God, I love you, Jesus, you know, and forgive me." And they think they get granted repentance. They go right back out and do the same thing. You know what that kind of doctrine that is? That's Catholic doctrine, brothers and sisters. That's no different than going into the little confession booth and saying, "Father, forgive me my sins." And he says, "Count your beads and say your Hail Marys." That is a violation of what we just read right here. The Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for willful sin. And when you know and taste of that world to come and you know that it's wrong, it is sin to you to go on and do those things. And the thing is, does that mean they're going to go to hell? No, not at all. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, "Blessed is the man who God does not impute sin." A man may trespass. When they asked Jesus, "How do we pray?" He said, "Father, forgive us of our trespasses." There's a difference. The elect of God, it's not imputed sin. That don't mean that they don't have deeds that ain't exactly right. You see, and this isn't just a fancy little terminology of wording here, brothers and sisters. I'm speaking about the Word of God. And the thing is that when Jesus died and took my sin away, he said he put as far as the east is from the west. And this is why he hid me away and sealed me in. Sin can't touch me because sin is the sting of death. Amen. So if I have a pass from death unto life and Jesus finished his work, sin had to be taken away from where I'm at. Amen. Now the thing is where I'm at, I've been caught away into heavenly places according to the Bible. Hid in with Christ. So now, the thing is, but if I go on into the world and continue to walk in the world and the things of the world, there remains no sacrifice. I can't plead the blood of Jesus for that. The blood of Jesus took away the Adamic nature of Adam and to the sin of the flesh and took that thing away. But when I come to understanding, Bible said sin's not imputed unless you have a knowledge of it. And if I come to a knowledge of, if I'm baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost and not using the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, then it would be sin for me to go back to that because I've been enlightened to that and an understanding. But before I came to that revelation, I did that. It wasn't imputed to me as sin. But if I went back to that, it would be. You understand what I'm saying? Using that as an example. Now, on speaking of sin, once you've been enlightened and taste of that, there remaineth no more sacrifice. When you know it's wrong, you can't plead the blood of Jesus and it washed away because it violates the word. The Bible said God is not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. Now the thing is if I'm the elect of God and I do something that you would call sin, the Bible said that there is a sin that's unto death and there's not to even pray for that and there's another one that isn't. This one that isn't has been washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you trespass against God or fall into one of those things, and you pray unto the Lord, you may not be imputed to you as sin, the sin that is unto death, but it will be imputed to the perspective, or you will stand before the Lord for it. And the Bible said that he chastens them that he loves. And the thing is God does chasten. The Bible does say judgment begins in the house of God. If you're under the doctrine in the scriptures, it says that you cannot judge. That's false doctrine, and it's doctrines of devils, because the Bible said, "Ye that are spiritual judge all things," and we're called to judge. "You show me a mother and a father that doesn't judge. Their children are going to be ripped away by the devil because they're not judging the children that are coming around. The Bible said evil communications corrupt good manners. You better know how to judge what is evil communications. And the Bible said ye, the least of you in the church, could judge even the angels, the Bible says. And it goes on to say that you could judge all of those matters. Amen. That we're not to take these things out there to the courts of this world. That all the judgment needs to be taken care of in the house of God. So we need to get biblically correct and stand with the word and believe the word and quit leaning to these fables and things. And the reason the preachers in this day and hour are preaching that you can't judge is because they're full of wickedness and they're full of the devil and they're not preaching the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're telling you can't judge because they don't want to stand before the judgment of God. And it's the same way the spirits cried out when Jesus got off the boat on the Sea of Galilee. They said, are you here to judge us before our time? Amen. This is the day of judgment for the God's children, that they can get the things it would be a trespass or a violation against God out of their life, that they could be transformed in the mind of God and be sanctified, pressing into perfection, the perfect man Christ Jesus. Amen. So sing a song before I get to preaching. Because if I'm standing here for some reason, if you put food in front of me, I'm going to keep eating it. And so sometimes you got to push it away. And if I'm standing here and there's people drawn in hunger, and I'll keep on going. But there's some that are ready to close up and go. So we're gonna be reverent to the thanks of God and to them. Let's sing a song or two, brothers and sisters. We won't keep you much longer. They don't get weary and well doing down there at the ball games. And they'll jump and shout and holler and yell down at the ballpark. Amen. But the thing is we're talking about coming into the mind of God, the revelation of the Lord, and we should have a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Hope we challenged you in thought. If we made you mad, we'll pray that you get glad. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I can tell you one thing. I'm not offended. I like to be challenged in the scriptures. And if you feel that I violated in the word of God, I will not take it offense. You say, well, brother, I'm not sure. Because I've taken you tonight into different differentiations of the word. The Bible says that the things of the spirit are contrary to the things of the flesh. And the thing is, I can show you controversies in the word. But I believe they're not controversies because they're differentiated between light and darkness, between good and evil, between God and man, between the flesh and the spirit. It's how we differentiate, it's how we look, how we understand.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.